There is a passage in the Psalms which says, "This is my son. This day have I begotten thee." And we find in the Acts that Paul repeats this, not only repeats it, but says that there is a time in all those who seek the Christ when they shall hear within themselves, "This is my son. This day have I begotten thee." You might say that in those words, Paul has summed up the very purpose of this parenthesis, Christ realization. And yet, try as we will, and willing as we may be, we find that Christ realization is the most evasive quality that a man can seek. It's even more evasive than the Holy Grail, which man never found. And yet, the kingdom of God is within you. Now let's look at a few things here in the Bible. First off, a very strange statement by the Master. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never die." Heaven and earth will pass away. And yet in the first book of Genesis, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And here, the Master says, "Heaven and earth will pass away." How can that be? How can God's creation pass away? Why haven't we questioned it? And let's look at that passage and see if it gives us a clue. It's in Mark 13:31. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away." My words. The words of Jesus? Isaiah tells us they are the words of God that are meant here. For in another passage in Isaiah, he says, "Grass dies, matter dissolves, but the word of God does not pass away." And here we find Jesus the Christ saying, "But my words will not pass away." Why? Because my words are the words of God coming to you through Jesus the Christ. My words will not pass away. The words of God are permanent, eternal, infinite, ever present. And then we might at this moment go a step further and see that just as Jesus in the body said to his disciples, "If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you," we can now see that the words of Jesus in the flesh appearing visibly to man, being the Word of God, when he went away, how would you receive those words? The same way that you would receive the Comforter. When he went away, if the Comforter is to come unto you, the Comforter is to bring the words. And so there is the key to inner revelation. You will receive those words within yourself. Within your very being, the kingdom of God brings you the word. And because you receive the word, it becomes the experience for the flesh. Heaven will pass away. The earth will pass away. But the word of God within you will never pass away. How do we receive that word? What is the meaning of it? How can we describe it? Of that day and of that hour knoweth no man. No man knows when heaven and earth will pass away. No, not even the angels in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. The Father knoweth. So take ye heed, watch, pray, for ye know not when the time is. What time? The time when heaven and earth will pass away. The time when the word within will announce itself and say, this day have I begotten thee. And perhaps for you, on the day that this happens, the heaven and the earth will pass away. And behold, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. For the Christing is the moment when heaven and earth passes away. And when that heaven and earth passes away, you are in the heaven and earth that is announced in the first book of Genesis. That heaven and earth is reality. This heaven and earth that passes away must be the imitation of reality. And only the word within can cognize the reality. The Son of Man is a man making a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. When I say unto you, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And so we have a very specific command, watch. And we say, how shall I watch? Where shall I watch? What faculty shall I use to watch? What does it mean to me? Suppose we look at the heaven and earth that will not pass away. Suppose we learn the secrets of the 6 days. Even a measure of truth gleaned from them will show us what we must watch. Now you know that the world is confused about those 6 days. Or those 6,000 days. What do they mean to us? Are they really days? It even says, in the beginning. What beginning? And right there we have the great clue. In the beginning. Before the world was, it means. That's the meaning of in the beginning. Before there was a world. And so it isn't speaking about our world at all. This is not the 6 days of the creation of this world. It has nothing to do with this world at all. Before this world was, in the original, in the genuine, in the kingdom, in reality. That's the meaning of in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, the high and the low. Do you think that heaven and earth is going to pass away? No, only the heaven and earth that has been created by the human mind will pass away. Now, what is wrong with this statement? Ye shall think the truth, and the truth will make you free. Another statement. Ye shall think God aright. For to think God aright is life eternal. What is wrong with those statements? The word think is not there in Scripture. We cannot think God aright. We must know God aright. There is a difference then. We cannot think the truth, and the truth will make us free, although we try. You must know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And the difference then between knowing and thinking becomes the difference between living and not living. For you think with a human mind. You know with a Christ mind. You think and you are not watching. You cannot watch with a human mind. You can only watch with a Christ mind. And if we are told to watch, we must learn the difference between knowing and thinking. If the only way we can find life eternal is to know God aright, then what's the point of thinking only about God and never reaching the stage of knowing? Now let's look at those two and see the difference. We look all through the 6 days of creation. And everywhere we go, we find the same phrase repeated. God saw what he had created and it was good. And on the sixth day, there is a repetition. God saw what he created, and it was good. In fact, not only was it good, God saw everything that he had made. Behold, it was very good. And then on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day. And thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. There's nothing been left out. All of the host of them. So complete is the creation that God now rests. There's nothing more to create. And it is all pronounced good. Now with your thinking mind, you don't agree with God. With a thinking mind, we don't agree that all is good. Because we have our concept of what good ought to be. We are looking not out of the mind that knows this creation, but out of the mind that forms a concept about this creation. And it is in that concept that we have lived our human lives. But while we are forming concept, this creation in the first chapter of Genesis is present. And the best way that I know of at the moment for us to understand it so well that we can never be fooled is to take these 7 days and look at them as you would 7 mixing bowls, placing them one within the other. The smaller one and the larger one, all the way up to the seventh bowl or the seventh day. And you'll find that the seventh day embraces all of the other six. Now instead of days, let us change those to worlds. 7 worlds. And the 1/7th world comprises the other six. So that we have one complete world, and within it 6 other worlds, and yet these 6 other worlds within are not really worlds. They are levels of consciousness, each one being a higher level, a higher consciousness about the one world, about the seventh, but always the one, the seventh, is present in each of the other six. So that you might call the six worlds the six veils, the six wombs of creation, through which we will pass to become aware of the fullness of the one, the seventh. But always, good is present. Always, good is all that is present. And for the reason that God rested on the seventh day, it is because that goodness pronounced by God was not about a material changing world, but God was saying, Spirit was saying, this is good because it fulfills the divine intention. It meets all the divine specifications. It is enduring truth, enduring existence, enduring reality. Good to the Father means eternal, infinite, finished, complete, ever self-fulfilling, without fault, eternally immaculate and unblemished. And we who do not see or live or experience that eternally immaculate universe are not knowing, we are thinking. But when we are knowing, that is all we can know, for that is all there is. The perfect universe is the seventh day. And if you were in the one, the first day, you would still be in the perfect universe, but only in that veil. And as you come up and up and up, lifting the veils of consciousness, you are always in the perfect universe, even though to the thinking mind it is not apparent. And so the prophet was showing us that we walk now in the perfect universe, regardless of the womb of creation in which we stand. When we were nothing but a mineral, we were in the fullness of God but didn't know it. And now as we stand in the human state, the creature, if we are renewed by the renewing of the mind, lifting the veil of the senses, we will behold that we are in the perfect seventh day universe where all is good. And this is the nature of watching. To watch is to know that here where I stand is the full perfect universe of the Father. And the 6 days are the six levels of consciousness through which we all pass to arrive at the seventh day, the realization of the fullness of being. But always, the fullness of being is present. There was a mystic in about the 11th century, a Spanish mystic, Maimonides. He made a great remark, and he made it long before man discovered evolution. He said, God never created an ape so that it could evolve into a man. What God has created is. It doesn't become something else. God's creation is. Finished, complete, being what it is. God's creation is being, not becoming. And so we find that this first chapter of Genesis is telling us that the Garden of Eden is where you stand in the knowledge of truth. Not in thought about it, but in the knowledge of it. And Joel has told us what knowing means. Your mind can never know. Your consciousness knows. And therefore, the mind must become a servant of the consciousness. Your consciousness is your soul. And your mind, becoming a servant of the soul, knows. For the soul does the knowing, the mind does the thinking, and the soul feeds its knowing to the mind which receives, and that is watching. And when your mind is a servant of your soul, you know that what is called the seventh day of creation is yourself. The one and only self that is being itself. But not tomorrow, not remotely, but here and now, the one is. You would be shocked to find that many people on this earth who think they have accepted the presence of God have not. It might shock you to discover that you too have not accepted the presence of God. There is a subtle way in which we are fooled. The mind accepts the presence of God, and you think, I believe God is present. But you're believing with the mind which doesn't know, but which thinks. And that mind will pass away with the heaven and the earth. That mind does not know. You cannot know with that mind that God is present. You can only think you know. And you discover that you didn't really know when the power of the presence of God does not make itself manifest in your experience. A good friend of mine the other day said, I haven't been able to accept that I do not have a physical form. I'm trying to, I want to, sometimes I think I do, but I haven't been able to accept it. The more I thought about that, the more I realized that wasn't the truth. It wasn't that the individual wasn't able to accept it. It's that the mind of that individual, which is trying to accept it, even when it does accept it, is only the world thought, deceiving us into believing that we have accepted the presence of God. And a little more meditation on the subject brought this knowledge that until you are certain that where you stand, God is, and you are not, you have not accepted the presence of God. And you're not in Christhood, because Christ is where God is accepted as the only presence. When you, where you are, accept the presence of God fully, without reservation, you cannot also accept a mortal form. You can't have both. You can't have God and mammon. You can't have knowing and thinking. You can't serve the two masters. You might try going into meditation about that, and you'll find that you have reservations about God's presence where you are. And this being the fundamental fact of life, if we turn away from it, what are we watching? We're not watching, we're thinking. We're affirming, we're declaring. We're hoping, we're praying humanly, but we're not watching. For to watch is to know that I and the Father are one self. Only one. Where I stand is the Father. How many of us dare to accept that? The moment we do, we must reject everything that denies it. And we haven't come to that level of consciousness which can turn to the world and say, I have overcome you. Because the Father stands here, not me. Now, as we go through these 6 days of creation, the 6 wombs of consciousness, veil after veil is ripped away. We come to a very strange place, the 6th day. we find the divine image. But God has no hands, no face. God has no physical form. The divine image, therefore, is not a physical form, is it? It isn't a hand and a face. It isn't a physical body, because God has none. How can you image something that isn't there? And so we have to see that the divine image is not this mortal creation. The creature has erroneously assumed that he is the divine image. Look again and see if you can find any place in the 6 days of creation that speaks of a hospital, of a mortuary, of a disease, of a death, of an evil, of an error, of an earthquake, of a volcano. Where are they in the creation? If this is the creation, in the 6 days of creation, where are all the errors and the evils and the discords and the wars? We don't find them there. That's because these 6 days are not about our world. The first chapter, then, is not about this world. It is about my kingdom. My kingdom, which is not of this world. And the difference between my kingdom and this world, the difference between the first and second chapter, must be seen as this. One is the spiritual universe in eternity. The other is the material universe in time. Adam and Eve living in the material universe in time. Unaware of the presence of the spiritual universe that is eternal surrounding them, which is there called the Garden of Eden. Now we are watching, which means we are walking consciously in our consciousness in the eternal, invisible spiritual universe around us. And we do that by accepting here where I stand, God is. For the kingdom of God within me is the consciousness of God and unfolding as my consciousness. Only as the unfolding consciousness of God in me is accepted as the only consciousness I have, am I watching. And only then am I receiving, for that unfolding is what the Bible calls revelation. That unfolding is what the Bible calls the Word made flesh. That unfolding of the divine consciousness in me is what the Bible calls grace. And that unfolding unfolds the 6 days of creation into manifestation as the seventh, expressing the fullness, the allness of God where I stand. But only because I have accepted that where I stand is divine holy ground, because God is this ground. God is this substance. This is the knowing which brings the substance, instead of the thinking which brings only the form without the substance. Now please try now with me to accept the presence of God where you are. Not with your mind, but with something higher, with the absence of your mind. To reach an awareness that God is here. For the miracle is that the complete, full 7 days of creation in the first chapter of Genesis are the kingdom of God within you now. There is nothing in those 7 days of creation that is missing from your divine consciousness now. It is all in there. All that I have is thine. In the kingdom of God within you now. And to watch means to draw out from that kingdom into tangible, visible expression the fullness of God being where you are, so that wherever you are, omniscience is governing your life. Omnipotence is governing everything you do. Omnipresence is the accepted fact of His grace in you. Why? Because where thou art, I am. Before the world was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Now where you are, I am. And I am the 7 days of Genesis. I am the Father within you. The beauty, the perfection, the allness that I am, the perfect spiritual creation is within you now to be drawn upon. It is the living waters of life itself. To know God within you now is life eternal. And this is how we step out of the passing parade. This is how we are anointed. This is how we hear the Father say, "This day have I begotten thee, for you are knowing me aright." Accept me. Not two, not me and you, one. One. For I, the Father, am yourself. I am not blind, I am not deaf, I am not sick, I am not diseased, I will never die. Are we one or are we two? You make your decision, and you live or die by it. The moment you accept God, your acceptance is not complete until you have unaccepted what is not God. That which is not God cannot be where God is. Only God is where God is. And if you're not accepting God, what are you accepting? Separation. And that's why the devil appears in the Bible, the symbol of separation from God. The creature receiveth not the things of God. The creature thinks but does not know. And when you have accepted God, you can never experience fear of any nature. Fear is the belief that God is not where you are. God is the expulsion of fear unto eternity. What shall I fear if God is my substance? What shall I lack if God is my substance? The host of creation is very good, complete, eternal, infinite, present, where I am. I'm no longer in the 6 mixing bowls. I am the fullness. The veils are lifted. I'm out of the womb. I am born of the Father. I am begotten. I am the spiritual creation. When you work with this consistently, not being soft on yourself, the presence of God will be realized, and the absence of anything unlike God will be realized. And the error of world thought presenting itself to you at any time will be recognized as a nothingness without conscious effort, without a lot of words, without any thought, because I, the Father, accepted as your being become the Christ walking the earth where you stand. Divine infinite consciousness becomes infinite individual consciousness, and you are one. When you have made the first feeble efforts to accept that only God is where you stand, even though you may think you have attained some measure of awareness of it, you have another test that follows immediately. Your neighbor is doing the same. And if God stands where your neighbor appears and God stands where you appear, there's only one. You are never separated from your neighbor. In fact, there are not two. There are not two of anything. There are not 4 billion. There is only one. And that one I am. When you have taken the trouble to consciously look out upon the world and know that isn't Jane over there and that isn't Mary over there. Those are the forms. Those are the outer picturizations of the inner consciousness. But all that is there is God. There is only one there, and that one that is there is the same one that is where I stand. No matter how many people are in the room, but one is there. You cannot do it with a thinking mind. And unless you do it, you cannot know. For God will never be divided into little pieces for the thinking mind. God will always be the one. And the one will only function where there is a conscious awareness of the one. For that is where the miracles occur. I am here, you are there, but God is in both places. The one is our identity here and there. And now you have the pieces put together. You can never see a person in this universe separate from yourself if you would be the one. If you would experience the grace of the one, there is nobody in this universe separated from you. It is that simple and that complex. There is one, and you must be true to that one. And when you are under the law of spirit. You are out of karma. You are out of all material cause and effect. For I, the one, am the only power. You cannot accept me there unless you accept me where you are. And you cannot accept me where you are until you are willing to crucify the sense of me, the sense of him, the sense of her. You cannot have human judgments praising one and not the other. You must love your enemy because the only one there is I. You cannot make distinctions of any kind, for I am the only one. And every distinction is a denial that I am the one. And so we think, yes, I've accepted God. But when we put ourselves to the test, we discover we have only thought we accepted God. Now suppose we accept God as a universal being. The invisible self that is the universe spoken of in the first chapter of Genesis. That's why God rested on the seventh day. Meaning when you come to the realization of self, you too will rest, that there is only I, the one self. In form, I have many colors, many shapes, many sizes, many nationalities, but I am only the one. There is none but I. If you go up to heaven or down to hell, there is only I, and all else is your concept. Wherever an individual makes the effort to discard the illusions of sense, the illusions of thought, the illusions of mental judgment, and relax, resting in the one that is coming unto me, and that is watching. And to such a one, although heaven and earth will pass away, to that one, the heaven and earth, which is enduring, which is pronounced very good by the Father, will never pass away. You step out of time into the eternal. And where is that eternal? When we are told before Abraham was, I am. When is that time before Abraham was? It is now. Now is before Abraham was. Abraham was world thought. Before world thought was, I am. And now I am. I am in the now of being. And that's where God is. Think back a moment. Think of a pencil. You take it and you write something on paper. I hate John. Or you write, I love John. Now, whatever you've written on the paper had nothing to say about it. It was an effect. It couldn't say, don't write me. It had no will of its own. It had to be done that way. And there it is. It's on the paper. It says, I love John or I hate John. Now, who wrote that? The pencil? The hand? Neither. The mind that moved the hand, that moved the pencil, wrote it. The mind had to conceive the idea. This Bible is telling us that as human creatures, we are not the mind, we are not the pencil, we are not the hand, we are the scribbling on the paper, we are the final effect. We only have the illusion of thinking we have something to say. Something writes us on a sheet of paper, and whatever it writes, we are. And that something, that pencil, is the thought of the cosmic mind. And as long as you let yourself be a thought of the cosmic mind, you go on being an effect. Something which has nothing to say about itself. But thought is what writes a human form. Human consciousness is human thought, and it makes a human form. We are told to go beyond words and thoughts. And Joel tells us to go above thought. Now, I'd like you to change one word. When you say beyond thought or above thought, I'd like you to change it for the moment to before thought. Before thought. Before Abraham was. Not beyond Abraham. Before Abraham. Because you must come to that place which is before thought. And knowing comes before thought. After thought is finished, there's nothing you can do about it. It's written down on the paper. But if knowing precedes thinking, then divine thought enters the picture. And so we must take our consciousness, not in thought, but bring it to the moment before thought. Before the mind thinks, we must come to that place where the soul knows. We go above mind, and that is before thought, before Abraham. And that's now, right now, before thought is the knowing realm. And when you live in the knowing, you're living in that which is before thought. And then the thought becomes the servant of the knowing. And lo and behold, the word of the Father, which is the knowing, becomes the Holy Ghost activity, which is the final visible effect, or the divine image made visible. Then you're in that sixth world where the divine image is. Until then, we're still in the fifth day. We're not in the sixth day until we realize the divine image by knowing. In the fifth day, we're only thinking. We must come out of the shell of thought into the freedom of knowing. And that is why between the fifth and the sixth day, there is an evening and a morning, as there is between every other day. In the evening, we come into the darkness that precedes the dawn. we step out of one level of consciousness, walking on spirit like a child would walk, and we are blind. We are in the evening. But we then emerge into the dawn of understanding, which is called the day. And that brings us into the next world, until finally we pass through each evening and each day, through each level of consciousness, through each veil, through each womb, up, 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 realizing Christ in the sixth world. And now we are taught of the Father, so that we can soon rest in the seventh, which is the beginning of life eternal. Free of all the concepts, the six worlds behind us, everything functioning in its place in the Father's will, above thought, before thought, beyond thought, in knowing. For then you know the truth, and it does make you free. Then you know God aright as the very spirit of your own being. And that is life eternal. And then we're out of the Adam dream of the fifth world, of the fifth veil, of the fifth womb. And we're not frightened anymore. Now these 7 days of Genesis then are a secret code telling us that we must be willing not to cling to the form, but to pass through many forms, of which this is one, into the formless, to pass out of time into the timeless, out of space into the spaceless, into infinity. For God is infinity, and Jesus discovered infinity, God the infinite one, as the only being, not the supreme, but the only. Therefore we are, said Paul, all joint heirs in the only, joint heirs in Christ. One. Please practice that, the acceptance of God where you stand, until something in you rings with the knowledge. Yes, of course, all that can be here is God. And that which is not God is not here. It is the appearance made visible by a consciousness, but it is not God. And therefore it cannot be here, for only God is here. Now, says John, are we the sons of God. The place whereon thou standest is holy because God is there. Accept then the power of God. With that presence, the all-knowing of God with that presence, the all-love of God with that presence, and draw upon it. Go to the well. Watch, listen, wait, be patient, be confident, for God is there. God is ever where you are, being God. God is never absent where you are. And all that denies it is the tempter of a mind that is not, of a mind that lives outside, not in the 7 days of creation, but in the false sense of self. Slowly you find your roots, and with those roots, each new level of consciousness becomes another seed sprouting, opening new light, new awareness, a new acceptance of your own being on all its levels. For every level of you is present now. You can accept it. Yourself is now present and is omnipotent and omniscient. Whatever denies it is a lie. When we were told to multiply, The mistake was made in thinking it meant multiply by having more children. It didn't. Jesus multiplied loaves and fishes. We multiply the Lord. We multiply by the acceptance of the fullness of God where we are. And this multiplies the Lord. We accept that the complete creation outlined in the 7 days is nothing more than reality ever present where I stand. Perfect as my Father, without blemish. That makes you the living child of God. Now we watch as one. Whatever denies our divine identity is not accepted as a present reality. Wherever we shall gaze with human eyes, we accept the same invisible reality there that we have accepted where we stand. We walk consciously in the invisible kingdom of God on earth. This is how we accept divine presence. The miracle of oneness functions in the consciousness that accepts it faithfully. The law of karma functions in the one who does not accept it or is ignorant of it. And so it is said that the light appeared, but the darkness comprehendeth it not. For the darkness is the creature in the human mind who knows not that the very light of his being is God. From those who make this their way, a remnant is formed, which Isaiah called mine elect, which the Bible refers to as the children of Israel. This remnant are those who have discovered God in their midst, who have rejected all else, who live under the law of God, by the acceptance of divine identity. And they pass from the fifth world into the sixth. And this remnant becomes the seed of the sixth world. This remnant becomes the new consciousness. This remnant becomes the divine image and likeness manifest. And that will be when we have entered through the fifth veil into the sixth world, living as one with the Father, faithfully, completely in the will of the Father, with absolutely no will of our own. We will not even enter that realm until the will we have now has been crucified, that we may be resurrected in self, ascended then above world thought into my Father's house, living as the Christ. For I can assure you, nobody lives in the sixth world but the Christ of God. That is the return to the Father's house. It is the purpose of this experience, this incarnation, for many who walk the earth today. They will walk as the Christ in the sixth world. And when the heaven and the earth passes away, the word that will not pass away is your being, for you are the Word of God. We'll take a little intermission now, and then we'll see what the second half has in store for us.